We're learning Rav Dessler, Volume 1 of the Hebrew, Michtam Eliyahu, page 121. The new essay entitled Obstacles, General Obstacles Towards Tshuva. Shamati b'shem Hagon Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zutzal, Saba Mitzlobotka. He says, he heard in the name of the Altav Slobotka of Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Ye'o Niflo Ledasis Erech Hamidas HaTovos. A wonderful insight that we should know the value or the importance of good character, good attributes. Kikos v'teira nase odom. The Torah says that Hashem said to the angels, let us make man. Let us make man was stated to the angels. Who's us? It's Hashem with the angels together. And he consulted with the angels and said, let us make man. Now even though this can result in misleading the heretics, because they'll say to us, in your Torah it says, let us make man, which indicates that there's more than one God. Right? There are two powers. And the two powers got together and they said, let us make man. Otherwise, why is it in the plural? So therefore, this leads for room for a mistake, for misleading people. Because we believe Hashem is only one. Hashem is one and only one. He is everything. He is all. And this verse seems to indicate, no, he has a partner. He has someone who helps him. So therefore, this statement seemingly should have been not, the Torah should not have written this phrase, Nase Odom, let us make man. Right? Because as we say, it's going to lead people to think that there are two powers. And therefore, why was it written? Why did the Torah write it? Lelamdenu dech eretz. It's to teach us proper conduct. It was written because through this teaching we can learn proper conduct. That the senior person should counsel and ask the advice and ask the consent of the lesser person. If a person wants to do a certain project, he shouldn't just act on his own, but he should consult even with his employees, those who are beneath him. He should consult with those beneath him to join them into his project, not to just do it on his own, not just to take authority, even though it's his authority. He has the rights to do what he wants. He's the boss. But it's to show a certain regard and a certain type of consideration for those who are beneath him, that they should also have a share. They should also have a share in the decision process and in terms of making something a reality. And that's considered proper conduct. And there's a certain type of humility that when you're going to do something, you consult with those who are beneath you before you act. And that shows a respect and that shows a certain affection for those people who are beneath you. That's considered proper conduct, to be considerate of other people, that you don't just act on your own, but you actually consider their opinion. You give importance to their opinion. Im kein, and if so, if this is the purpose of this message, that Hashem wanted to consult with the angels and to ask them, should we make man? Nase odom, right? Let us do it together. Im kein kedai haya laniach hatzir mokam laminim litzis, it was worthwhile for the Torah to leave a certain gap, so to speak, a certain area where it could be misleading, because this same phrase which teaches us proper conduct can also lead to a heretic conclusion that there are two powers. And it's worthwhile because we do learn proper conduct from this. That's what the Altav Slobotka writes. Now, Rav Dessler elaborates on this idea as follows. But why is this so? But why is it better? Why is it better to teach proper conduct in this way, even though it's at the expense of leading those who are heretical astray? It's giving them an opening, an excuse for their heresies. Look, there's a partner. So why would it be, why is it preferable to teach proper conduct over creating this misleading impression in the Torah? So Rav Dessler answers as follows: Ki ein odom choishev machshava, because in truth no person thinks a thought, unless he already has an interest in this idea. Anything you think of is something that you already have a connection to. Something you're interested in, you think about. Something you're totally uninterested in, you don't think about it at all. You don't give it a second glance. I wouldn't look at it twice. It just doesn't interest you. It doesn't catch your attention. You can be sitting in the bus and someone's talking about a certain subject which you have absolutely no interest, and you just block them out. You're not interested. Because if someone's talking about a subject that you're very interested in, so all of a sudden you can hear every word because you tune in. So therefore, a person doesn't think except about those things that interest him. And his interest, what piques interest? Why certain subjects are we interested in and others we're not interested in? So the answer is because we're only interested in those things in which we want. It's to do with what we desire for ourselves. Our own personal desires, ambitions, hopes, things that we want for ourselves. So when others are speaking about it, when that subject comes up, we're suddenly interested. And a person's interested in buying, let's say, a certain appliance. So he hears a discussion about that appliance. He hears two people speaking about that particular appliance. He's already interested. He turns to listen. He pays attention. So therefore, our thoughts only follow our interests. And our interests only follow our desires. That which we want, we're interested in. That which we're interested in, we think about. Whether it's in toiv, in ra, whether it's positive or it's negative. Well, that's regardless. If it's something we're interested in, it's because it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, we'll think about it because we're interested in it. And since it's our desires that lead to our thoughts and not the other way around, it's not what we think about that develops a desire. It's what we desire that leads us to think in a certain way. So therefore it comes out automatically that from the beginning your thoughts are all about those things that you desired. And your thoughts do not even absorb that which is against your will. something that you do not desire at all. So your brain just tunes out. It just refuses to think about such things. And therefore any mistakes that a person will make, any mistakes we made, any time that we're misled, so that all springs up, the root of all of that is because of a desire which wants to make this error. Something we want. We want a certain outcome. We want something to be. So therefore, even if it's a mistake, that we'll latch into this thing because of our desire, our interest in this item, will lead us to make, even if it's a mistake, will lead us to think in a certain way, even if that way of thought is a mistake. Nimtza, and here comes the conclusion, very important conclusion. The midas hein siba letoyus. It comes out that attributes, our character and attributes, are the reason we make mistakes. As your character traits and your attributes are also products of what you desire. So what you want helps you to form your personality, your character, your personality traits. You want everyone else to recognize you, to give you honor, whatever it is, that's going to lead you to act in a certain way. The things that you want lead you to act in ways that will help to promote your wants. Right? So a person wants to be a tzaddik, so that leads him to act in the way of a tzaddik. A person wants to be rich, he's very greedy, leads him to act in greedy ways. Right? Your character, your ways, the way you conduct yourself, right, which is critical. Right? Our midas is a critical area of Torah observance, that we have fine attributes, we have fine midas. We all aspire to have the finest of midas. But our midas are based on our inner desires. So therefore it comes out that the attributes, which really is an outgrowth of the desires, they are the reason we make mistakes. Because we want something and we act in a certain way, we make mistakes. And it's not errors that we make that lead to bad attributes. Because really a person knows what he wants, and therefore it's what he wants that really fixes everything, puts everything in its place. And it's not because someone will tell you something that you'll change your whole personality, you'll change your character. On the contrary, it's your character that leads you to certain actions. And if there's mistakes along the line, you'll make those mistakes based on your character. Right? So therefore, this now explains the reason we're not worried about this mistake. Let me just go on in the Rav Dessler as follows. V'zeh loshen breishis rab. This is what it brings in the Midrash. B'shar shaya Moshe koisev es ha-Torah. The Midrash brings like this. When Moshe was writing the Torah, in other words, Hashem was dictating, and Moshe was writing. Kevin shagir l'posuk zeh. When Moshe came to this verse, Hashem was dictating, Moshe was writing, and they came to this verse, Nase Odom, let us make man. Omer. So Moshe, he said, excuse me, sir. Right, excuse me. He interrupted. Just 1 minute, right, before we go on. Hashem said, right, Nase Odom, let us make man. So Moshe said, Ribbono Olam, Mata Noisen Pischon Pelaminim. Why are you giving an opening? Why are you giving here a room for the heretics to come in with an argument? So says the Midrash, Omalei, Hashem said to Moshe, "Ksoiv, write it. Baroitze litois ite. The one who wants to err will err." And that's the point we're saying. The person who makes an error, it's because he wants to make that error. That's an error he wants to make. He's interested in coming out with that conclusion, and he's looking for dirt, right? He's looking for the excuses, right? So therefore, baroitze litois ite. In other words, this is an important message here. And those who make it, I'm not interested in those who want to make errors, because those who want to make errors, they will anyway, they'll find some way to make the errors. And therefore, leave it alone. Because I want that a person should say, that if a person would say to himself, why should I ask the permission of those who are beneath me? Why should I consult with those who are beneath me, or a parent? Why should I consult with my children? You know, what would they like? Right? If I'm planning a certain festive meal or a certain holiday or a certain outing, why should I consult with my children? Right? I'll decide myself. So therefore, if a person would have that, if a person would think, I don't need to consult with others, so we say to them, learn from your Creator. Your Creator did consult, even though your Creator is the supreme being, and He knows absolutely everything. And everything comes from Him, including the angels. The angels themselves come from Hashem, and even so, He consulted with the angels. So, therefore, learn from your Creator to act in the proper way. Hare Mufurish. So, here we have explicitly in this midrash, ki ein adam toye elarak mishum sheroite litois. A person doesn't make an error only because he wants to make that error. Ki brurim the gluim dake atira. Because the ways of Torah are very clear and very obvious. There's nothing, it's all laid out, it's all very clear, it's all very, very specific, it's all very open. And the truth shines within the way of the Torah. Someone who looks to the Torah sees the truth in the Torah. If you look into the Torah with an open heart, with open mind, you see the truth shining through, that this really is the only truth. It's just that people have other interests, they have other desires, and therefore they don't see the truth. Someone who wants something, so he blocks out the truth, and he doesn't hear it. You can talk to him for 3 hours, and he's not listening at all. The shutters are up. There's this wall that he's set between himself. He just doesn't listen to you. He can stand there and say, but he's not listening to you at all, because he's already decided exactly how he wants this conversation to go, and therefore he's not open to really hearing the truth. That's what we're learning here. Mishum zeh, now because of this idea, which is a quirk, as we say, in the human personality, that really it's our desire that fixes everything for us. Tichbad mo'oid mo'oid ha-tshuva. For a person to do tshuva, to come back to Hashem. And tshuva means getting close to Hashem. Right? For a person to direct his life, or to redirect his life, away from, you know, the attractions of the physical world, the material world, to direct his life towards drawing closer to Hashem is very difficult. It's very difficult. Ki ein adam roe nige atzmo klar, but he's got his own interests, and a person cannot see his own bias. A person has a bias; he's biased towards something, right? And therefore he can't see it. He thinks he's open-minded. He thinks he's open to the truth, and it's not true. He's not. He's going to be blocking out the truth when you send it his way. His will, his desire is the lord of his intelligence. The master of all of his intellect is his own desire. His desire sits on the throne, and it determines exactly what his intellect will perceive or not perceive. And if he won't see anything lacking in himself, he sees no deficiency in himself. Many people, sometimes the worst people, will think that they're absolutely perfect. You know, I'm the most perfect person you can meet. And his lackings are so obvious, they're so glaring, but he cannot see his own faults. So therefore, when he doesn't want to see, he won't see his own faults, tshuva minayin. So how can he repent? He thinks he's already a complete tzaddik. Right? Sometimes the worst people think, I'm a tzaddik. So I mean, what is there for me to correct? Everything is fine. I'm one of the greatest people in the world. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, that's it. So how can he do tshuva? If our own interests, our own bias is already going to block us from seeing the truth. And this is why the Torah comes and tells us, the Pasuk in Iyov that says, let us search out our ways. Now, so you have to try and be very objective. You look at things that you do. You look at your habits. You look at your daily routine. Right? Look at the way you perform certain acts. Perform certain mitzvahs or how you daven. Right? So it says on that, the Pasuk says, let's examine. Let's analyze our ways. Let's investigate our ways. Chipus b'choyim. Now the word nachpaso is the same term they use for searching for chometz. Right? When it comes to Erev Pesach, we have to make sure the house is clear of chometz. So the mitzvah is you go around through the house with a candle and you're searching all the nooks and crannies and all the cracks in the walls and all the underneath, wherever it is, wherever there's a little hole. So that's where you have to look. So that same term that's used for searching out of the chometz is also used in this area, that a person should search out his ways. Searching in the holes and in the cracks, the kibbedikas chometz, like you would search for chometz. Kitmunim hadrochim omik omik. Because our ways, our little quirks, our little biases are buried. They're often buried very deeply. No one can find them. Right? There's a fault, but no one can see the fault because it's all covered up. And after we do the search, that's step one. Nechpaso, let's search. Nachkira, let's analyze. Chakira mukin. Now let's analyze our actions. Think about our actions. Chakira mukin achem etzias adech. After you find the part, so let's look into it. You find the crack, you find the hole. So now look in the hole. Look into it. See what's there. Shine your torch there, or your candle there. The das ayehem shorosh midas arois. What are the roots of his evil traits? Ayehem moitze hara. Where can he find the evil? Where's the problem? Ulan ponav moedus. Which way are we turning? What are we looking at? The whole process was started in terms of all the details. Rachacha kol eile be'omo v'girav. And only after this, if we will toil over it and put an effort into it, nashuv al Hashem. Then we'll return to Hashem. That's the end of the pasuk. Nech pasad arkeinu, let's search out our ways. Nach koira, let's investigate them. V'nashuva ad Hashem, and then let's return to Hashem. Because once we search out the faults, the flaws, so then we can correct them and return to Hashem. Lamadnu ad kan harotzen matzmin es hargosh hara misichlein asagaseinu. So it teaches us how much our own desires, our own biases hide our evil instincts or feelings from our intellect. Because our intellect, we're not aware, we're very, very often not aware of our own faults. And they continue to lead us into imaginary paths which are totally don't exist, which are totally negative, totally bad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu yidrosh mimenu lagia la'emes habrurah. However, Hashem demands from us that we do reach the truth. This is something we're expected to do. Which means we have the ability to do it. We have the tools to do it. We have the ability to recognize the truth. What is truly good. What is truly appropriate. What is truly what we should be doing or not doing. Dafka b'mesha tomun amoik b'libeinu. Specifically, things that are deep in our hearts, we can uncover them. Uliba lapuma logalia. Things that are in our hearts which we never get up to our mouths, right? What you're thinking and what you're saying, is a concept of piv libo shovim. What he says and what he thinks is the same thing. So often it's not like that. What you're thinking, what you're saying, mm-hmm. are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you say to a person, "Oh, you know, I'm so happy to see you." You know, mm-hmm. in your heart, you know, "Oy veya, you're the last person I wanted to see today." Right? Okay. So libo lepum yagali. You know, what we need here is to. We have to get it out into the open. What's murking in, what's lurking in our hearts has to come out. There's a pasuk that says, a pasuk in Tehillim that Hashem says, it's truth that you desire, betuchos. Betuchos means in that which is covered up. Betuchos, some of the mefarshim explain, means in the kidneys. The kidneys, and Ibn Ezra says the kidneys are covered with fat. There's a fatty membrane around the kidneys. Mm. So it's in that you have to delve into the kidneys, right? Into the belly, into the guts, right? To really what's really cooking up there? What really is he scheming? What really is he trying to achieve here? So therefore, Hashem, this is the pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem asks for us to reveal the truth, betuchos, which is in those hidden places, the place which is plastered. The word tach is the word we also use for plastering. You know, you plaster a wall, so it covers up all the cracks, and oh, you've got brick wall. Brick wall is not very nice, so you put plastering on it, and it's nice and smooth, and it's all covered up. All the holes and all the cracks, everything is covered up by the plaster, and then you can paint it, and you have a nice glossy finish. It's all smooth, smooth as satin, right? But that's because it's covered. So therefore, mokam hashet tachu b'tiachav. It's this place which is covered with a thick plastering, so that it shouldn't be found. So that's really the explanation. And just maybe I'm getting off the page for a minute. A certain eitzah that we can use, something practical suggestion is that we have to ask ourselves, why am I acting in this way? Right? Ask yourself this question. Let's say you're having a bad day, or you catch yourself acting in an inappropriate way, right? You're being very short-tempered, or you're very angry, or you're very frustrated, right? You're very short with other people. You're not acting as you feel you should be acting. You're feeling very, very annoyed, or you're feeling very unhappy, tremendously unhappy. You're having a bad day. So if we can stop for a minute and just ask yourself the question, why is this happening to me? And why am I acting in this way? Why? And wait for an answer. Ask the question, why? Why am I acting in this way? Why am I thinking like this? Why am I so negative today? And then stop and wait for an answer. Just stop. Stop whatever you're doing. A quiet moment. 2 or 3 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes is a lot. 2 or 3 minutes of quiet time. Just stop everything. Just be with yourself. You can be under the blankets in your bed. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Just some quiet time. And ask yourself the question. And what's going on? What's happening in me? Or how is this coming? How am I in this situation? Why are things so bleak at the moment? So if you ask the question, that's already helped you to uncover the problem. Ask yourself the question, why? Why is this happening? Or why am I acting like this? Right? Why do I feel like this? Why am I in such a black mood? Right? Ask that question, and that already cracks open the problem area. Right. And if you come up with the answer, so then you say, you know, right, someone insulted me. Okay, but why is that affecting me so much? Why is it so important to me that this person not insults me? And if you do come up with answer number one, so ask the question about, right, why is that so? Why is this upsetting me? In other words, go deeper. If you come up with answer number one, so maybe now you investigate answer number one and get to a deeper level, answer number two. But why is this so? Why is this? This is something that is. This is a conversation you have purely with yourself. No one knows about it except yourself. But it's revealing. I'm just to get to know, you know, what's going on. What's happening within me? Why am I reacting in this way? Says Rav Dessler, Bezoya Parshas B'Sholach. The beautiful Zoya Rav Dessler now brings. It says as follows: V'yom Yish Elokim Hirapelo. There's a story there where. This woman came crying to Elisha the Kohen. I think it was the Shunammis. Her son had just died. He'd promised her son. And she had the son, and now the son suddenly passed away, and she came crying. So she ran to where Elisha was with her cry, with her complaint, with her anguish. And Gehazi, who was Elisha's shamus, he was his servant there, he pushed her away. He tried to hold her back from. She was running towards Elisha, and he held her back. So Elisha said to Gehazi, "Irapelo, right? Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Let her talk. Let her come to me. Let her speak. Let me hear her problem." So in that verse, the pasuk speaks of Elisha. It calls him Ish Elokim, man of God. In that verse, Elisha is called the man of God. Yomi Ish Elokim Irapelo. That's a verse in Melochim, Good Kings. So the Zohar asks the question on that verse, Maishno Hocha de Omer Ish Elokim. Why over here is Elisha suddenly called man of God? However, when he's in town, when he's in the school of the yeshiva where he teaches, he's called Elisha. Here he's out in a deserted place, meditating in a deserted place. He's called the man of God, and yet when he's in town, in the town surrounded by his students, he's called Elisha. So why here he's called God, man of God, and here he's called his name? Ella says the Zohar, Hocha Vada Ish Elokim. So says the Zohar, no, rather, here specifically he's called the man of God, the Hocha Chaza Duchta. Because here he sees his place. Here he sees where he is. Here he can see where he's holding. Hocha Pirish B'Yoysa B'Yisboididus Bar Carmel. He was on Mount Carmel, all by himself, in solitude. And here he knew what he was doing. He knew where he was holding. Veloibamata, but not when he is in town. Veloibashaydid Havabnein Avi Kame, when all of his students were surrounding him and honoring him and asking him questions and questioning him So then you lose yourself because he's caught up in the give and take, and there's the dialogue and there's the questions and they're speaking to him. So there he loses himself because it's exciting. It's exciting to be surrounded with people and they're speaking to you and you're speaking to them, and you have the sense of attention. So therefore you lose focus of your true self. That's what the Zohar says here. Right? Now it says that when he was by himself in solitude, Chaza Duchta, he saw his place. What does that expression mean? The Zohar says he saw his place. When he was in solitude, he saw his place. Says Rav Deslet means Ro Madregoso. He could see his own level. He could see exactly his own spiritual level. He could see exactly where he was holding. Yodem Mishpat Emes Lekol Inyonov. He knew the truth about what was going on in his life. The Maisa in terms of his actions. Machshova in terms of his thoughts. Ubapnimius in terms of his inner being. He was in touch with himself. Just by being by himself for that time, he got into touch with himself. And therefore, at that point, he's called Ish Elokim. At that point, he's properly connected to upper world. He's properly connected to himself. He knows what's happening in his life. Masha'enken, which is not the case, the Hesach Hadas HaYoyzekon, which is not the case when there's even the slightest distraction. When we're distracted, so then we're going to automatic drive, and then we act in the way that we used to acting. Let's say a person has a certain bad habit. So when he's conscious of himself, so he makes sure not to act with that bad habit. Right? He makes sure not to, right? Let's say a certain bad habit. Doesn't want people to see it. So he's consciously controls that habit. But in the rush of the man, when he's surrounded, when he's being distracted, he's got 101 things to do. So then he falls back into his habits because he falls into what is his natural way of conduct. He's not consciously in control. So therefore he falls onto his regular character. So therefore, once there was that distraction, he's surrounded with his students, they're asking him questions, so there he lost that level of Ish Elokim. He wasn't at that level. That is what the Zohar says about the great Elisha. It is the totality of the person, which includes all that he's achieved in his life. But in different slots of your life, different settings, different situations, so we are different people in different situations, and therefore there are situations where you're not really in control of what's happening, and therefore you lose focus. You lose your ability to be in control. You lose your ability to focus. What the Zohar has, it's contrasting two situations. One situation when he was alone by himself on Mount Carmel, and the other situation was when he was in town surrounded by his students. So in town surrounded by his students, the verse calls him Elisha. but by himself in solitude on Mount Carmel that calls him man of God. Because each situation allows for... I'll give you an example which you probably all experience. That you, let's say you're busy benching and there's a conversation going on a few feet away. So your benching's gone. You know, you're saying all the words, but you know you're really not here because you're being distracted. There's a distraction, and the distraction ruins everything. You know, where am I? You know, what happened to my benching now? You know, because I, you know, these people were talking, and I started listening to them because you know I have to hear what they say. Maybe they're saying something about me, so I need to listen. You know? So therefore that's what we're talking about. This is the problem that a person can be distracted. The Im Gam HaKodesh BeYosef, one of the greatest of our heroes, Elisha is one of the greatest personalities of the Tanakh. Because he was teaching students who themselves reached the level of being prophets. It was like schools for prophecy. They taught how to become a prophet. You know, what sort of mindset, what sort of focus, what sort of meditation would you need to reach higher levels of vision and higher levels of connection. Even for him himself, it's impossible for a prophet, like Elisha himself was a prophet, to maintain that level. With those distractions, he cannot maintain his level. Remember, Elisha was the one, when his Rebbe was dying, when his Rebbe left, didn't die, he left the world alive, he left the world in a chariot of fire. So when Eliyahu left the world, so he said to Elisha, any requests? He says, Rebbe, please give me twice your own spiritual level. I want to have twice your spiritual level. That's what he asked. We understand he was a very, very high spiritual level, Elisha. Mishnai Baruchim. It's twice Eliyahu. He's double Eliyahu and Novi. The Das Mishpat Emes Bo Oides Atzmo, which is the ability to know the truth and the clarity in terms of himself, in terms of upper worlds. And nevertheless, all of this can be lost with the slightest distraction. This is absolutely amazing. Right? Even when this perfection of being on the level of Elisha, still a person has to be in charge of himself. It doesn't help to be on a very high level if you're not actually physically in control of what's going on. But with quiet introspection, accurate perception of oneself, that you shouldn't be caught up in illusions, you shouldn't be caught up in imaginary situation, imaginary realities which are not real. So therefore, this is one of our obstacles towards doing tshuva, right? That we get caught up in things that we are interested in and our own personal desires. And every person has negative desires, right? They're not always negative, it depends how you use them, but we have desires for. We do desire the good life, we do desire pleasant experience, you know, to have a pleasant life, we do desire fame and to be recognized by the people, to be acknowledged, and to be we do want to be wealthy, and we do want to be, right, to have all sorts of luxury items or wonderful items, wonderful things in our lives. We have this. We all have the Yetzer Hara. We're all human, and as human beings, we're interested in this physical, material world. All of us, and these desires are distractions. So therefore, this is really the issue. A person has to be aware that there are distractions, and he has to have the ability to rise above the distractions if he wants to make changes in his life. He wants to reach for higher levels, so he has to be able to remove the distractions and to make tikkunim. He has to take on new projects, take on new habits, right? Try and train himself to be a higher person. Okay, so says Rav Dessa, Zuhi Bechina Achas, Lekoishi Atshuva. This is one of the ideas which is what makes doing tshuva difficult. Right, that our own bias, based on our own desires, prevent us from recognizing our own faults and our own mistakes. Right, we don't see, we make mistakes and we don't see our own mistakes. You can imagine a person enters a talent competition, right? A singing competition. This person can't sing at all. So he's saying, why did you enter the competition? You have a terrible voice. He says, no, I have a wonderful voice. But, you know, everyone starts singing, everyone blocks their ears. It's so terrible. He thinks, people, we make mistakes. You know, we think one thing about ourselves, which is not true. Why are we thinking like this? Can't we see how terrible we are sometimes? Like this person, the singer. Can't he hear how terrible his voice is? No. He thinks he's wonderful. Right? And it's crazy. How can he possibly, he's got such a terrible voice, how can he possibly think that he's a good singer? But he does. This is the ability we have to mislead ourselves. So therefore, if we want to get over our problems, we have to be aware of this issue, and we have to try and deal with this issue. If a person cannot recognize his mistakes, so how can he do tshuva? Okay, that's number one. Number two, okay. Idea number two towards, which is an obstacle towards doing tshuva, noida, says Rav Desla, Gerua Mizeh, worse than this, worse than the problem of bias, is Hashem Milvad HaRotzen LeTumah, besides the desire which we have, which leads us to defile ourselves, contaminate ourselves, or lower ourselves, dirty ourselves, dirty our hands, dirty our fingers. Right. Besides this, we already have a certain level of contamination within ourselves. It's built in. So besides dirtying ourselves, we have a certain muddiness within ourselves. Right. There is a certain, you know, it's part of the basic human personality has a certain type of contamination built into it, a certain type of tumor. I'm using the word contamination, I don't know if that's the best word, but we have faults built into the system, not that we took on for ourselves, but it's just we're born with them. Right, here's an example, listen to this example. Milanu Eiches V'Darkei Kedusha K'Yishai Avid David. Who was there as an example of a person of holiness as great as Yishai, the father of David? Right, Yishai, the father of David, was one of the holiest of people. The Gemara says about him that the only reason he died was because of the advice that the snake gave to Adam and Chava. And it was only because of the sin of Adam, which therefore penalized all humankind with death. All humanity was penalized with death after the sin of Adam HaRishon. For that reason alone, Yishai died. That's the only reason he died, because of that penalty. Because personally, his life was a perfect life. He was a totally holy person. And that was the only reason in his life. Throughout his life, he never added any type of sin by himself. You know, he never fell in any level. He maintained the level that he was given. He grew, and there were no fallbacks. There were no, right? He didn't sin over and above his basic self, which was given to him. The Kulei Kodesh Yoimeloi. He was an individual that was called all holy. He was a supremely holy person. At Kiloi Nimsa Chet Lesibas Moise Zulas Chet Harishon Shiyashu called Neadam. To such a degree that there was no sin that was the source of his death. The cause of his death is not attributed to sin. But normally, death is attributed to some degree to sin. But for him personally, there was no sin at all which was the cause of his death, besides the penalty of death which he inherited together with all people. And nevertheless, v'achar kol eile, omer David HaMelech alav shalom benoi. But and nevertheless, David HaMelech says in another pasuk in Tehillim, u'bechet yechemasni imi. In sin, my mother conceived me. In sin, my mother conceived me. So what's going on? Right, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Bechet yechemos ni'imi. So it means it's referring to that there's a certain passion, which as it brings a certain lowly desire, which came about in the conception of David HaMelech. Right, it's exactly the point we're saying. There's an inbuilt lowliness within a person. Right, a certain mistake, because the person becomes passionate about something that's not, you shouldn't be so passionate about. And can kalvachoma, so that's even the greatest of individuals. The greatest of individuals, like Yishai, there's also an element of sin just in the basic build of the person. There's a basic pull towards negative desires, negative lusts, negative wishes. And that's reflected in this pasuk, "B'chait yechemos ni'imi," right? And with sin, my mother conceived me. V'im ken kal v'chom al shado. Therefore, how much the more so for other people, kamatuma kadma lehem leleidosim. How much contamination preceded even their birth, right? We come into this world, we get loaded with all sorts of baggage, all sorts of problems, which we learn from our parents, from our family. This poor kid comes in the world, he's already, it's his father's bad traits he's learning from, and his mother's bad traits, and the neighborhood he lives in, and all of this gets loaded on him. He's a clean, fresh piece of paper, and he's already being influenced, pulled this way and pulled that way, and he's being, right? So therefore, how much the more so, if that's true for you, Shai, how much the more so do we get loaded up with all sorts of pulls in all sorts of different directions? And if on top of the influence that we have from our birth and even from before our birth, right, we are influenced, our lives are influenced even before we are born. So if that's true, and if in addition to that, there's all the sin that we add to the package, right? Our own mistakes that we make, our own personal mistakes that we add to the whole package. So we understand how distant we are from becoming totally attached to Hashem, but returning completely, fully to Hashem. Even in terms of our basic makeup. So this is our second obstacle towards doing tshuva, is that we start off with a whole bundle of problems to which we ourselves add through making mistakes through our earlier youth, and later on we also make mistakes, and almost every day it doesn't go by without us making some mistakes. So this is an additional obstacle towards us reaching Hashem. Kim Yetz Hashem, we'll continue with this essay in the next class. Mm-hmm.